Well, welcome to week 7 of our Emotionally Healthy Spirituality sermon series. This week, we are going to be talking about the Kingdom of Heaven. And because it was such a jam-packed service today, I promised to narrow down my message to 12 minutes or less. I thought I would get an amen. So I'm going to try to be very concise this morning, but I do want to open up with prayer, so if you would pray with me. A gracious and loving God, we do pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here to open our ears, our minds, and our hearts, to be able to receive the whisper of your voice and the message that you have prepared for our hearts today. Let us always be mindful that this Bible that we hold so dear to our hearts is actually your love letter from you to us. Help us to receive it that way today. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my lips be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus is always giving examples of daily life around his environment. It's a contextual thing. And today is no different. He speaks in 3 different parables from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 and following. Hear these words. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God indeed. So we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. And I would like to put it this way. When we experience the kingdom of heaven, our value system or our values change. They're upside down and backwards, in other words. You do believe that the veil of heaven, the veil between heaven and earth, can sometimes become vapor thin, do you not? I have seen it and witnessed it myself on several occasions. Maybe it's in the twilight hours where my father-in-law gathered his family to say his last goodbyes. I could see in that moment the real love of a father being departed or parted upon his children. It was a beautiful, sacred moment that I'll never forget. The veil between heaven and earth became vapor thin. Or there was the time where I was at Royal Family Kids Camp and we had a very wealthy man come for a week. He came with the attitude that he was there to fix the kids. Royal Family Kids Camp is a camp for abused and neglected children in the foster care system. And he was determined to come there and show them discipline because he thought that all they needed were some discipline in their life and they would turn things around. Royal Family Kids Camp is all about grace, not discipline. And so he tried in vain to discipline these hardened kids who had a wider, more colorful vocabulary than this gentleman did, if you know what I'm saying. And he would always say, "You can't say that, you can't say that," right? Which would lead to another debate, for lack of a better word. And on Thursday, something powerful, something transformational happened. His value system changed. You see, he was a very wealthy man that had lots of antique cars. That's the collection of his heart, the treasure of his heart. And on Thursday, during the birthday party, this one particular boy tugged at his heart. And he said, "Aren't you excited to have another birthday party?" And the boy said, "What's a birthday party?" The boy had never experienced a birthday party. And in that moment, the veil between kingdom, the heaven and earth became vapor then, because I saw a transformation take place in his heart. I saw he realized it wasn't about teaching these kids discipline. It was about offering them the gift of grace called love. And when he got home the following week, he had a garage sale. He sold all of his antique cars just to be able to fund the next 5 years of Royal Family Kids Camp. For him, in that moment of a birthday party where a cupcake became a birthday cake for the first time, the treasure of the kingdom of heaven changed his value system. Secondly, the kingdom of heaven is beyond the value of any earth's treasure. Now, I myself have some treasures. I have shared with you in the past what some of those treasures were. A silver dollar from 1881 that my grandfather gave me, or a quilt that my grandmother made. I'm here today to share with you, from a distance, another treasure that I have. It is a Pinewood Derby car. And it looks, well, to me, it looks just like a Shelby AC Cobra, if you are familiar with cars. I know there's a car theme today. Bear with me. But this did not come in first place. It did not come in second place, did not come in third place, or fourth, or fifth. I think, truth be told, it came in second to last. And since all Cub Scouts receive some type of affirmation or award, Anthony and I received, I say I because we built this together, we received a certificate of appreciation for a Carroll Shelby original design. You see, the treasure I hold before you isn't the wood and plastic and the lead. It's the memory forged in the creation of this treasure. It's a kingdom treasure. That's what kingdom treasures are. The relationships that we have celebrated, the relationships that we mourn, the hope for even more relationships to build those kingdom treasure memories that we can cherish. This sits on my shelf in my home office. And every once in a while, Anthony will walk in and he says, "Daddy, you still have it. But we didn't come in first place." And I said, "You've always come in first place in my heart." Amen? The kingdom treasures are not of this world. They're of heaven. And finally, I told you I would keep it short, and I'm on time. Amen. Yeah, thank you. All right, the church. Okay, this, I don't know about you, but this last parable that he talks about, a fishing net, like, that really is confusing to me. I think about, like, maybe is the church a mixed catch to be sorted by God? Could it be? I think what Jesus does here is he tells a parable for those to hear, and he uses something that people can relate to. In the context of ministry, where he was at, he was dealing with a bunch of fishermen. He knew that they all knew how to cast a net, how to throw it out there and pull back whatever the net captured. And I think, I do, that the church is Jesus's greatest cast net. That we are to be the hands and feet or the netting that is cast out by Jesus to bring in all that we catch within the perimeter of our net. But here's the catch of the catch. Are you with me? It's not up to us to do the sorting. You know what I'm saying? That's the work of God. And what do we know about Jesus as a fisherman? He was generous with the casting of his net, was he not? He was generous with the casting of his net. And so we too are to be generous in the net we cast as Willoughby United Methodist Church. We too are to be generous with where we go fishing, how we bait our hook, how we bring in the catch. For we are to love the whole batch or the whole catch and leave the sorting up to God. Because I'm here to tell you, friends, that we're not a perfect people. And if you are perfect, would you please raise your hand so we can know who to look towards? Honestly, we're broken. We're all in need of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And we all praise him for the work he did on the cross. Amen? And so why would we ever consider ourselves to be stingy? Why would we ever put ourselves into position to push away the kingdom of heaven as opposed to draw it in? That is our charge. Given to us from Jesus himself, go therefore and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them all that I have taught you. He taught us, even through prayer, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, bring heaven here on earth. And how did he do it for us? He did it on the night in which he was betrayed, when he took bread. He blessed it and gave thanks, and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I am casting my net as wide as I possibly can for you out of love." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And he blessed it and gave thanks. That alone ought to make us pause. That he knew what was coming, and he chose to bless it, and he gave thanks. And he said, "Take, drink, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you and for many, for the whole catch. Drink as a new and everlasting covenant." That they would become for us the body and blood of Christ, that as we partake, we become one with Christ and one with each other in ministry to the whole world.